Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Cambridge 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf. Best Day Coaches Show tonight. We'll have men's soccer coach Bob Warming, head football coach James Franklin this evening. That will be from 6:05 to 7 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. In a few moments, Ty Linder, the play-by-play voice of Kent State football. First, our play-by-play call of the day.
Fly ball, left field, going back is Dahl at the wall, and it's a grand slam home run for Andrew Tolles, and the Dodgers come back from the dead. It is 10-8.
Ali Stoner with the call last night on the Dodgers Radio Network with our play-by-play call of the day. Ty Linder, the last time I saw Ty face-to-face, we were having a great conversation down in Las. The Kent State basketball team was there playing. In fact, played Penn State. And he's just one of the great guys in the business, a professional. Not only does Kent State football, he does basketball and baseball as well. Ty, welcome. It's great to have you with us. And let's get to Antoine Dix. This is a tough one. A rare blood disorder. And the guy that's the leading receiver a year ago is going to be out of this game and out for the season. This will be a tough one across the board for everybody at Kent State.
Yeah, I know it. You know, if you ever want to get in a situation where you're like, "Woe is me," because you know all of the over 100 college football teams in Division I, nobody's going to feel sorry for it because we've all got our issues and nobody goes injury free throughout a year. But for a Mid-American Conference team that just doesn't have the depth to withstand a lot of injuries, especially maybe your best big play scoring threat, it was really disappointing. And I mean, Steve, disappointing not only because of what selfishly I thought he could do for the team, but for the young man himself. I mean, here's a guy that has had this medical condition throughout his life, and he may have missed out on some offers from some southern schools in the ACC and the SEC because they didn't want to take a chance, and he found his way to Northeast Ohio, and I thought had a really good freshman year last year and was poised to have a breakout sophomore campaign. But the good news is if he can get over this and be ready to go for spring ball in 2017, then maybe he can still have a good college football career. But certainly very disappointing all the way around.
Yeah, those who don't realize, a rare blood disorder, that is the issue. Awful. What swung Paul Haynes toward a true freshman at quarterback?
We asked him that. In fact, I've asked him that twice today because we talked for the pregame show and then did our weekly radio show with him just a few minutes ago. He basically said that, you know, nobody came out and took the job. You know, as the head coach, the last thing I want to do is award by a job. I want it to be claimed. And he just said that, you know, basically nobody stood out and claimed that position. He said that the deciding factors were, you know, obviously the physical tools, but he thought mentally Justin would be a guy that wouldn't get rattled. That could thrive in maybe big game situations and wouldn't let the breaks of the game or any kind of adversity affect him too greatly. He also, though, did add on that he expects to use Mitchell, Bolas, that those guys would certainly still see their time.
All right. He's also said during his press conference that he felt, I'm going to paraphrase here, they felt the offense had nowhere to go but up. You watched it all last year. What do you think?
I could not agree more. You know, you're talking about a team that did not run one single play offensively third period of the season finale last year in a rivalry game. It was just an anomaly, and so even the numbers are skewed a little bit in their favor, but there's no question about it. for one reason or another, this was as offensively a challenged group last year as I've ever seen. You know, there were stretches, I think maybe half the season, we didn't have an offensive touchdown. So he's right. He's absolutely right that there can only be one way that's up. I just think that, you know, you just nothing really stood out last year. You had a subpar season up front on the offensive line. That group, I thought, had a chance to be special last year, and I think they underperformed a bit. I don't think he had any downfield threat in terms of wide receiver. The running game just wasn't there, especially when we had our running back go out with an injury. And Holly, fortunately, he's back and was able to get a red shirt out of it. So there were a lot of different factors that all conspired to making it one of the more challenging offensive seasons in recent memory.
Except Holly's now in the slot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's still going to be the guy that'll be given a number of handoffs. And, you know, that's one of the things Coach Haynes always said is, you know, just because we line up a guy at a certain spot doesn't mean we're not going to use him elsewhere. Especially, right. You know, this first month, Steve, when we've got all these games against non-conference opponents, you know, he said basically today, everybody that's going on the bus is going to play in some fashion. And I hope that means me too, but I'm ready to go with eligibility if he needs. But I think that's a statement to the kids that this is no longer, you know, these aren't sightseeing tours anymore. You're going to go and you're going to play, and we're going to find out if you can help us.
Yeah. Defensively, a lot of people, Phil Steele in particular, likes what Kent State has coming back. Let's get to a couple of guys. What has made Demetrius Monday a really good DB? He's got any career interceptions?
Yeah, he does. And you know, he had a couple of nice days against Big Ten opposition last year when he played Illinois and Minnesota. He had a nice return for a score against UM up there. I think he's very confident. And I think he uses it and really displays it in a good way. Not showing anybody up. It's not cockiness. It's not swagger. It's not anything like that. He's just a very confident kid, and he's one of those proverbial Mac guys that feels as if he could have played elsewhere or at a higher level. So he plays with that proverbial chip on his shoulder. He's very fast. He's got a very, very short memory, and I think we all know how important that is at that position. He's also, Steve, in my opinion, turned into a really good team leader in that secondary on that defense, to where he's explaining to some of the younger guys, this is a position where the game, you know, it's very unforgiving. You have to have a short memory, and you've got to be able to wipe the slate clean. But I think all those things really combine to make him a really fantastic player, and he's a great young man as well.
And Holly, safety, and what Tate was back on the at that edge spot, what, you know, describe the difference makers they can be for that defense.
They get a good, especially in terms of Waugh, they get a good first step. Terrence, and I was watching some film of him today when we played UMass, one of our really good defensive games. That was offensive club last year with a veteran quarterback, and Terrence Waugh in particular made life miserable on them, and I think he gets a good first step. It's not that he's cheating a snap, but he just gets a great first step, and he attacks as opposed to waiting for the play to unfold. And more times than not, he's guessing right. And then you mentioned Holly, you know, the other half of the Holly twin brothers, and he's the same way. He's just a gritty, hard-nosed guy that played rep football at near Toledo. And, you know, he comes from a tradition in the Glass City where they didn't lose a lot. And so I think that means a lot when you come from a program that's used to winning. You know how to carry yourself. And you just know, in the terms of Nick and Nate, when they come onto the field, you can tell that they've done a lot of winning. That's just the way they carry themselves.
Ty, normally coaches will look at a situation and say, look, we need to play defense a certain way because of our offense, or we need to play offense a certain way because of our defense. How much pressure was put on that defense all last season because of the offense? And the follow-up to that, did it then inhibit their aggressiveness because it felt like they couldn't take a chance and put themselves in a bad spot?
Yeah, I think the first question or the first part of that is something that I've seen us for a number of years now, almost to the point where it's almost a mini rift within the team, and it can affect team chemistry to the point, you know, if I'm a defense player and I'm doing my job and I'm getting a turnover and I'm setting you up in scoring position and you're still finding a way not to points on the scoreboard, at some point over a quarter of a long, grueling season, there can be finger pointing and there can be issues where you say, hey, listen, we're doing our part. When are you guys going to start to pull up your end of the bargain? That's been an issue at Penn State, really, over the last three coaching regimes. I think back to when I was first doing these games on sideline, I noticed that on the field, where you would have a constant situation where the defense was doing its thing day in and day out, and the offense just, for whatever reason, couldn't get it done. And it led to some animosity, however trivial it may be, within the team. And I think that affects chemistry. And I think that's why Paul Haynes, a number of times last year, every time somebody would try to praise the defense, he would try to point out as a defensive guy some of their own shortcomings, saying, hey, let's pump the brakes here. They're not playing perfect game either. But I think as far as the number of chances, I think with Brian George, the then defensive coordinator who's now at Toledo, I think he tried to operate his defense independent of what the offense was doing. And I expect his predecessor, or I would say his successor, Ben Needham, to do the same thing starting on Saturday, not allowing what's going on the offensive end to affect too greatly what he's calling defensively.
How much of an unknown is this opener today?
I think I know a little bit more going in than I would have in the past, especially from your folks. And I think, you know, the last times we've been there, it's been, you know, is this going to be a game where you just try to get out of it with an injury? I think going in, you know, I talked last year in Nevada about what would the team look like if Christian Hackenberg would have left. You were very confident at that time that that was going to be the case. And I look at my 2D, and I see a lot of offensive weapons, maybe more than I am used to seeing in the past. And I know maybe there are some unknowns from your standpoint offensively, but there's still a lot of talent there on really both sides of the ball. I think from our standpoint, the more unknown that I would have is I think you're going to get, from Kent State's standpoint, more of the same defensively this year. And my question is going to be, can this offensive line make the next step? That, to me, was the key to our team last year, and it did not do a good job. I think it's still my key going into this year, and I think it's got to do a good job. And I know that there were fingers pointed at the quarterback position at Kent State last year and at the running back position. I think it all starts with those big guys up front, and they've got to take ownership of the offense, and everything runs through them. And I think that's my big unknown right now is more of the offensive line. Can it take a step forward and be the key to this offense? If it does, then they'll be more watchable. There'll be more games. If it doesn't, you could be in for another long haul.
Ty, it's a real pleasure. I look forward to seeing you Saturday at the stadium, my man.
Always a pleasure. Can't wait to get there.
Ty Linder, play-by-play voice, Kent football. We will come back with more in a moment on 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I'm a little confused about that last sequence. I'm listening to that series of commercials, and it got to the Schickel and play-by-play part.
Right.
Because I've got the game with Mount Carmel coming up, and it didn't sound like Mike Furlato at all.
I found that out. Yeah, it kind of sticks out a little bit, come to think of it.
I mean, that got to change. You know? I mean, it's the equivalent of CBS running a promo with Brent Musburger on it. Here you go. Here's Vinatieri, a Super Bowl game-winning field goal. I don't think that's how it works, man. Yeah. I mean, I sense somebody's trying to hang on here.
By a thread.
Well, I think the promo must be changed. I think Mike's voice needs to be on there. I mean, gotta do it. It's like running Steve's house with Jack Fleming.
We'll have some Shikalimi touchdown highlights on Sunbury Motors game night tomorrow night over on Eagle 107. We'll be hosting that, recapping week two. So I'll put a couple of Filazzo touchdown calls in the hopper and send that down to programming, and we'll make that happen.
Oh, that'll get rejected by somebody down there. I mean, my goodness gracious, you know darn well, this is all about trying to protect the turf. And we won't give Mike, won't give him enough equipment. Well, you know, when it comes time to the promo, it's like he doesn't exist. You have no idea how sad I think the situation is.
Well, I stepped in and took care of the equipment problem without no one asking, so team player.
I know you are. I mean, the fact that you're a team player is not in and out. I mean, you're just a team guy all the way. Oh, other people. Sad. Oh, well. Okay. Game 3:30 Saturday, 2 o'clock is the airtime. We're looking forward to that. On News Radio 1070 WKOK and the Penn State Sports Network. So it is what we have coming up. And should be, I think, look, it's just an interesting game. You want to see what you have in the tank. I mean, that's what this comes down to. What do you have in the tank? You finally are going to run this offense against somebody else. You're finally going to run this defense against somebody else. Not at Alabama? No. All right, but you still have to run it against them for the first time to see, in practical application, what you have, what kind of coordination you have, and also, what you have to maybe correct with it. What you have to build upon with it. There's several things that come into play, and you're finally get a chance to play the darn thing. And that's what it comes down to. What do you have, and do you have enough to do you have enough to build on where you really have built some confidence in the entire operation? And have you been able to build this thing up? Or are there a couple look at it right away and say, okay, what are we going to do here for that? Because that didn't go the way we thought it would. You can't really find that out until you take it against somebody else. You just can't. So you open the season like that. And obviously, the games that Kevin, Sean, and I are picking tomorrow, obviously we've chosen the Notre Dame, Texas, the Wisconsin, LSU's, the Alabama, USC's, North Carolina, Georgia, so forth. I see Grayson Lambert's going to get the start for Georgia at quarterback. I'll be frank with you right off the top. I don't think Georgia's winning that game. North Carolina's really good. I don't think a lot of people realize how good they are. They are very good. I mean, so those are some of the games we're picking tomorrow. And we're going to have fun with it, despite the fact that Sean wants to make it so competitive, it's just going to take all the joy out of it. have a competitive bone in your body?
No. Yeah. I'd have to say so.
Really?
It rarely happens, though. I loved to bowl when I was a kid. So bowling, yeah, you get me on the bowling lane. Turn into a different kind of guy.
All right. But, you and Mookie Betts. Seriously, you know Mookie Betts is a great bowler.
Jerome Bettis was a great bowler, too.
Oh, I mean, Mookie Betts has several 300 games in his career. Several. Not a 300 game. Several. He's got 30 home runs, 100 runs driven in, scored 100 runs. He's hitting like 305. You know, other than that. So, I mean, Betts can bowl.
Now, was it true this time last year there could have been a pick segment, but maybe it was shoved off the table because you didn't want to buy the suit dinner? Any truth to that?
Why would I buy the suit dinner? That would have entailed him winning. You seem to be confused about something. He didn't get his Olympic picks right. Final hour of the show coming up, and tomorrow, a reporter from Kent State on the show. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, on the signing of Mettenberger. Also, Matt Leon, got him too.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Thursday. Great day for a lot of different things. And great day to have all of you with us. The sports shows of the day. You know, it's one thing to make your statement. I'm set for the national anthem. You have your press conference. And everything that goes with it. But it's another thing to wear socks like Colin Kaepernick did in practice, which was just, I mean, after a while, you just, I don't understand. Okay. I mean, you have to take. I mean, the police were already upset with him to be because of his statement. But, you know, to take it even further, to be insulting about it, how about that? You saw the socks, right, Sean?
Yeah, taking a stance at police organizations. Yeah.
So, I mean, he wins. Just because I just think it's all that's within you. Whoops. Take that out there. There we go.
Yep.
There we go. So I don't know what he's trying to accomplish. That's something where, to me, that's equipment violation, even though, you know, the NFL can't enforce it because it's in practice. The 49ers can enforce it. Okay? You put on their uniform. You have to wear their uniform. I mean, I think fair enough across the board.
Yeah, Bill Johnson, executive director of the National Association of Police Organizations, blasting the NFL after learning that he was wearing socks bearing the image of cartoon pigs wearing police hats.
No, and again,
yeah, no official response from the NFL yet.
But you're wearing a practice uniform. Now, again, it's not a game, so I don't know if the NFL is jurisdiction over that because, for example, you wear sponsor logos on NFL practice jerseys, as an example. Okay. But I think that for the 49ers, they're well within their rights to fine him for not wearing the uniform. I not being vindictive here. I'm just saying, look, I mean, if everybody else has to do this, you have to do it. You're part of the team. That's why it's called a uniform. And sometimes you can take something a little bit too far. I think this time, in this case, he took it too far. A little full of yourself sometimes. Matt Leon joins us, KYW Philadelphia. So we'll get into it with Matt. And Matt, anything down to 75 on the cut line? There's another game tonight, but cut line that surprised you?
Oh, Reuben Randall was cut. And I thought they signed him. I thought that was a quality guy on a short contract that had talent. But he just never got the engine started here. And from guys that watch practice all the time, they were not surprised that Randall got cut. You also had Givens, another veteran wide receiver, that was let go. Past that, Andrew Gardner, an offensive lineman, did start here, but he usually only because guys were banged up. Maybe a little bit of an eye raiser. I actually think that's a good thing if you're able to graduate past having to rely on guys like that. But me, Reuben Randall was the big name that I thought would at least make it down to the wire in the final cuts. But he was a pretty easy cut the other day to get down to 75.
What was the overall Eagle reaction, player reaction, to Colin Kaepernick?
Not a whole lot that you heard. I think Peterson said he had addressed it with the team. But it didn't really move the needle a whole lot here. I don't think Mike Tavares, who's a linebacker, a rookie linebacker, trying to make a team that actually said that he was also going to sit during the national anthem in protest, and literally a couple of hours later, his agent put out a statement that he would not be doing that. So that controversy came and went quickly. But past that, there hasn't been much talk about it.
No, it's interesting. All right, going into the final preseason game, where really it's about roster spots 40 to 45, and then which eight end up on the practice squad. Are there any battles that you're looking at that you think come down to the wire decision-wise?
The one real disappointing thing is you're not going to see Carson Wentz. I think people were hoping right. You'd see him play at least a half in this game, but the one rib is not fully healthy, so he sits. Wide receiver position, even letting go of those two guys. They've got a King Paul Turner who has turned some heads. Can he make the team as a wide receiver? There was some a while ago, Nuttall has not been good, and I don't think anyone really thought he was going to get cut, but, his struggles kind of opened the door for someone as far as playing a bigger role. I think for the most part, the positions that matter, we kind of know where they're going to be. We know the running back. Interesting, there was a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz around Wendell Smallwood, the fifth-round pick out of West Virginia. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. He came to the game last against the Colts, suffered a concussion, hasn't returned to practice, so probably he's not going to go. I don't think he's in any danger of not making the team, but he's a guy you don't quite know what you have, and I think talent-wise, he could have played a could have played a role this season. Still could, but I think Earl Vaughn would probably be limited because of a lack of rep and such. On the offensive line, losing Lane Johnson, he's at play, I think, on Thursday. Just they want to keep him, keep giving him game rep in case for some reason this suspension that everyone seems to assume is going to happen for some reason doesn't get shortened or whatever. But I don't think there's a whole lot of high-profile struggles or any other names to look for. I think the wide receiver position was one that was getting interesting because their names were being outperformed by guys you hadn't heard of, and they showed what direction they want to go when they cut Randall and Gibbs, and they wanted to go with the guys who were getting it done.
What has been your thought on the limited time Sam Bradford's been out there?
He's really good. And I got a Sam Bradford theory for you that I think file this away and don't ever bring it up if it proves never to be true.
Never. That's not how we operate here.
But let me ask you this. Is there a starting quarterback who is, without question, the starter under less pressure in the NFL than Sam Bradford?
In terms of record performance, Eli Manning walks in and he knows he's got his job, but
no, I've seen less pressure as far as expectation.
He's a guy that no one anticipates his team going anywhere. No, everyone is just not. No. Everyone assumes he's feet down and Carson Wentz is ready.
Hey, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, even he, you know, that's four going to be under the microscope because they're expected to win. He needs to perform.
True.
You know, from the angle, but also Sam Bradford's got a firm grip on the job, at least in the short term. This is and that's the polar opposite of what Sam Bradford dealt with his entire career. When you think about it, you come out as a number one overall pick, obviously everything is looked over with a fine tooth comb. And then the same thing coming back from the injuries. Healthy. I remember last year during draft, you know, well, he's taking X amount of snaps today. He's going to take X amount of snaps tomorrow. Wasn't able to do that. You know, you don't hear anybody talking about Sam Bradford. It'd be interesting if he accepts that mentally, that, hey, it doesn't matter what I do. And he just goes out there and just lets it rip, plays like a number one guy does because he has absolutely no pressure on him. I know it'll happen, but it was just something I was thinking about that. I don't know that I've ever seen a starting quarterback that is an established starting quarterback has less tension and less pressure on him than Sam Bradford.
For him, there's some internal pressure because his way out and his way to really great monetary success is to have a great year as a contract year and have him a blood of money.
Yeah, right, but he's also, remember, wasn't he the last guy that cashed in on a big-time rookie contract for the slotting in?
Yeah, he was.
And even here, when he got the extension from the Eagles, you know, you're talking double-digit million. Like, he's the money, and obviously, you know, none of us ever turned down a big-time contract, but he is really, really financially set the rest of his life. Just think about it. If you look at four or five games in and, you know, you look down and Sam Bradford's thrown 10 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions.
Not bad. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, though. He is playing as if he's relaxed. How about that?
Yeah. No, he didn't. The game against the Colts, he had 1 interception, and he only was an interception because he made the mistake of hit Nelson Aguilar in the hands and it straight up into the air. But when he's been in there, he's looked good. I mean, too limited. Everybody remembers we all went cuckoo Cocoa Puffs last year when he had that game against Green Bay. But, you know, he has been solid all preseason from all accounts. He's been the best quarterback by far in practice. It'll just be interesting to see how it
It's a very good point. That's a very interesting point that about Sam Bradford. He really he's had a comfortable preseason. A, not challenged, and B, nobody expects them to win.
It's so rare in the NFL to be in that situation where you are the established question starter, but you're on a team that doesn't have very high expectations.
Yeah. Actually, in some ways, look, winning the whole thing, life's good. But in some ways, you know, that isn't so bad either in some ways. Look, I go,
yeah.
Well, you know, I can go out and throw 20 touchdowns, picks, we're still going to lose.
So, and, you know, if he starts going like that, and, you know, I still don't think there's any way the Eagles keep him just because of what they went through to get Carson Wentz.
Sure.
But somebody will throw both at him and can get through this whole season and play good football, he'll be set. He'll get that big contract that'll probably be his last big contract, and he'll be taken care of.
What happened to you? How did you stay grounded?
It's air drive. You know that.
Matt, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Yes, an air drive. We'll come back with a moment to wrap it up on News Radio 70 WKOK. Okay, well, I think we've taken everybody around the horn today with high school football announcers, a Kent State football announcer, and Paul from Philadelphia. Ghostwriter pattern is full. Tomorrow, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. And my brother. It's going to be pick time, and it's going to be knocked down, brag out. I mean, and that's just. you can stress us. I'm worried.
All in good fun. End of the year, winner gets a pat in the back.
You always say that before the first week, and then all of a sudden you're out there researching analytics. But through, like, I'm throwing darts at the board, going, "Yeah, that looks good." Yeah, I got it. Well, I get it.
I know who we're dealing with here. You're the one who defeated Mr. Ham on the picks on the Penn State Sports Network on the tailgate show last year.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
And guess what? Neither one of us knew the games before we started. And both of us, and I mean, seriously, every week, here are the three games. We're like, okay, what three games? I mean, no research, nothing. We're over there. Hey, look, there's a dartboard. I think we'll, I'll pick that one. I like the color red. You know, what the heck? It's about how it went.
We also think it's the most pressure-packed segment of the pregame show.
It's not the weather forecast for Mr. Ham. He puts a lot of effort into that.
Actually, you are correct. Actually, that is the second most after the weather pressure-packed segment of the pregame show. Now, this hurricane is working its way up, but it's not going to get to our area anytime soon. All right, I think the earliest it would even get here would be Sunday time, and it would be brushed by it. That's what it looks like. And forecast looks great, and the forecast should look great. But this is a tough storm. I mean, it's going to hit Florida. It's going to go up the coast. It's going to hit Georgia, the Carolinas, Virginia, and starts skirting out, it looks like, toward sea. Based on the cone I've seen. Now, how does that affect the game on Saturday? I don't think it has any effect in the game on Saturday at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Based on what I'm reading.
Yeah. See, this is the first hurricane that's going to hit the U.S. territory in over 2 years. We were in the clear last year.
Does Al Gore know?
The inventor of the internet.
I mean... I'm just wondering. It shows on here from the National Weather Service or I guess from NOAA that at 1 o'clock on Saturday it'll be centered near Wilmington, North Carolina, and that it's going out to sea, and there's a tropical storm warning for at 1 o'clock on Sunday for the New Jersey coast. Not worried. And it'll be centered south of Long Island, but significantly south. I mean, significantly south of Long Island and Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket by 1 o'clock, well, p.m. Tuesday. It's really slow down.
Kind of reminds me of those winter storms that we like to follow, and we get the information from our friends at AccuWeather, those, you know, infamous coastal storms, and it takes just a 50-mile move in one direction or the other can make or break out what you get.
Right, and it looks to me on this, if it took a 50-mile turn to the west, it's going to hit us. So, why not concerned? More concerned about how aggressive Sean's going to be on the show tomorrow.
I'm just more concerned as to how much football I'm going to watch this weekend.
I watch a lot. What, are you kidding me?
You betcha.
I'm watching a lot of football.
You betcha.
Well, I mean, up to a point. I mean, I am going to go to Rochester, so I am doing that. Gotta go. Yeah. Gotta see, you know. I've already had several suggestions for names. I know you suggested that you thought Sean was a really good name. Because it hasn't been named yet.
I'm not even picky. It could go Shawn or Sean. I really don't care either way.
I bet there's no from the suit that said was a really good name. I rejected that, and he sent that the suit is a good name. I said, come on, that's weird. It's like having your child with. Oh wait, somebody did that.
um.
Well, yeah, but he does. They got it down to four now. Now, there's not a conference, but still. I mean, the number of people. I mean, Roger sent me a note. Thought that Roger was a good name. Like,
and more people are ganging up on you than I thought. I thought it was just Jack.
No, Jack did not suggest a name. He just wants to know what the name is. I said, I told him, I don't know. He wants pictures. Now, that I can't handle. I have a picture.
I'll take that back. I mean, ganging up on you with the amount of texts that he's been sending you. But he's a concerned buddy. Just wants to stay in the loop.
How many has he sent me today? One, two, three. There you go. It's all right. It's good. We're gearing up. I mean, 4 hours from now, we'll be at halftime. It's that time. It's time to get excited, you know? It's interesting. Pat O'Brien said, he said, I can't believe it. It's already the second week of our season. And he's right. It is the second week of the high school football season.
Yeah, starting tomorrow night and the week after, it'd be interesting just to see which teams are going to separate from each other and get that first week out in the rearview mirror and move on.
Yeah, that is a big part of it. That separation starts to happen. It's very interesting at that point as to which ones get away from the pack and feel like they have some momentum. All right. I'll be back with you in an hour. Joining you from a local establishment. To talk with James Franklin and head soccer coach, men's soccer coach Bob Warming. So we'll see you in an hour.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.